Is prayer a skill that can be taught? You know, I've had many people who say to me that prayer comes very easily to them. For them, it just feels like they're talking to God, just having a conversation that just continues. And there are others who've told me that they have a really hard time praying, whether it's they're out of practice or whether they were never taught how. It's honestly hard for them to know where to start. So the story goes that one of Jesus' followers came to him, and he noticed that John the Baptizer, like many teachers of the time, had taught his disciples the way to pray. And so he came and said, "Jesus, teach us the way to pray." Now let's start with this. Lord, teach us to pray. Pray. What does that word pray mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it's interesting because the definitions are given in this order. Number one, often used as a function word in introducing a question, request, or plea, as in, pray, be careful. Number two, used to make a request in a humble manner. Number three, used to address God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. And then there's this one other definition that I found, and it's from a legal dictionary, and I found this on law.com. Prayer, noun, the specific request for judgment, relief, and/or damages at the conclusion of a complaint or petition, as in, the plaintiff prays for something. A prayer gives the judge an idea of what is sought, and the prayer may become the basis of a judgment. I think it'll be interesting for us to keep these different concepts of prayer in our minds as we continue to study the Lord's Prayer over the next few weeks. The common theme here seems to be an appeal to a higher power. And it's important for us to acknowledge the authority of God as well as the complete otherness of God. And from the first sentence of this prayer, we see that. It says, "Hallowed be your name." This is a statement recognizing that we are not peers or equals with God. We are created in God's image, but we are created. God is set apart. The word we most often use for this is holy. And next week, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about holiness, so you'll have to come back to hear Pastor John's message on that. But for today, suffice it to say that God is holy, God is set apart, and God is to be regarded in awe. And yet, here we have this prayer Jesus teaches, and he addresses the Lord as Father. He even uses the familiar form, Abba. What does this mean? Martin Luther's Small Catechism says, "Jesus wants us to believe that God is our true Father and that we are truly God's children, so that we may ask boldly and with complete confidence, just as children ask their loving fathers." So what is it exactly that we're asking for in this prayer? It is nothing more or less than everything we will ever need. Mark Davis did a translation of the Greek in today's gospel, and it informed a lot of what I studied for this week, because there's so much packed into these few verses, starting with this prayer at verse 2. It says, "Father, hallowed be your name." What about in heaven? Where's that part? And for that matter, what about our Father? It just says Father. So as it turns out, in the oldest manuscripts, there is no reference to the phrase in heaven. And there's no our in the address. Both of these differences are significant. They mean something because both of them lend a greater intimacy. Because when we begin a prayer with Father, it is the way we might address a loving dad. And without a specific reference to God's location in heaven, then we're also acknowledging that God is out of heaven as well. God could be anywhere and everywhere. And what follows in this prayer are a series of imperative statements. Give us, forgive us, and do not bring us to trial. Jesus' model prayer and the text that follows demonstrate that when we pray to God, we are to ask boldly, even with imperatives. So let's take a look at this parable. Jesus says, suppose that you have a friend. One friend has come to you in the middle of the night, having traveled from far away, and is hungry, but you weren't expecting this friend, and you have no food in the house. But you have a second friend, and this is a friend who can be counted on to have extra to share. So in the middle of the night, even though you know you will be waking up their entire household, you knock at the door. It seems important here that the person in the story is asking not for their own benefit, but for the good of another, on behalf of someone else. Otherwise, why would Jesus include the third person? It would just be confusing. By the way, when we pray on behalf of another person, we call that intercessory prayer. So what else do we learn in this story? Are we to imagine that God is the sleeping friend and that we will be pestering when we call? Well, the psalmist did in Psalm 44. Verse 23 says, and this person is crying out to God, rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. But then on the other hand, we have the more familiar Psalm 121, which is one of my favorites and one that I turn to in times of distress. Psalm 121, verse 4 says, he who keeps Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. Here we have someone coming to a friend saying, I pray you help me. Even if God did ever sleep, we can always count on the fact that God is listening to our requests. And in this case, the answer to prayer was that the friend provided bread. Now, why did the friend do this? It could be because both understood the value of hospitality. And it could be because they were good friends and it was out of a sense of duty. But no, Jesus tells us, the reason the friend provided the bread was because of your persistence. A better translation of that word, persistence, might be impudence or shameless audacity or even pestering. Ask, seek, knock, says Jesus. Don't let anything, fear or shame or anything else, stop you from asking. And then verse 11, this is my favorite part. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? For the purposes of this story, we're going to assume no. And then he goes on to say, if you then, who are evil. Anyway, I think, I don't know if I'm evil. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner, maybe. But Jesus says, no. If you are evil, if you know how to give good things to your children, good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So is that what prayer is about? We just ask God for whatever we want? It's not quite. Prayer is a relationship, and the best way that we have to describe it, to understand it as human beings, is like a parent-child relationship. And I say this all the time. I've learned more about God since I became a parent than I ever learned in seminary. And even if you're not a parent, you were a child once, and you know this dynamic. Here's the scenario. It starts very early on. Adorable, beloved child says, Mama, I want. Daddy, I want. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. But very often the answer is, we'll see. Repeat throughout childhood. We'll see is a useful phrase for parents when not wanting to commit. But it's also useful when we are not sure if we will be able to provide for that request. Has God ever answered your prayer with, "We'll see"? Brian Stoffergen points out that even Jesus' request in the garden, "Father, let this cup pass from me," even that prayer was answered with, "We'll see." Because I suppose it may have been possible that Jesus wasn't going to die, that the cup would pass from him, if all the elements lined up, if all the leaders suddenly converted, if they repented of their sins and believed in him. But as we know, that's not the way it happened. And so "we'll see" turned into "no." And in those times when the answer is no, as in no, your loved one won't escape from danger. No, you didn't make the team. No, I'm sorry, but the diagnosis is worse than we feared. Sometimes knowing that a loving parent is present can make all the difference in the world. It becomes possible to live with uncertainty. God is not far away. God is as close as a father. And if father is not a good association for you, we have a myriad of images of God as mother throughout the Bible. And if neither works for you, remember this, that where earthly parents fail, God never fails us. God hears your prayer. God hears your every need. And if you, God's child, ask for anything, whether the answer is yes or no, or "we'll see," God will give you the Holy Spirit, which is God's very presence within you, around you, teaching and correcting you, guiding and guarding, and always within your reach. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our ushers are going to come forward and receive your gifts and your offerings this morning. And we're going to sing about our good, good Father.